You're listening to the Therapist Mom Podcast, where private practice and motherhood collide. I'm your host, Ashley Kamajiz, and here's the deal. I'm not here to give you fluff or hustle culture advice. I'm here to give you strategy to build a private practice on your terms, while naming the hard stuff about motherhood and the broken systems we're stuck navigating. If you're ready for honest, practical, and unapologetic conversations, you're in the right place. Welcome to the show. Let's take a moment to talk about today's episode sponsor, Jane, a practice management software and EHR I use to help keep things running smoothly behind the scenes. When I first started looking for a practice management tool, I wanted something that felt like a partner in my practice, not just more tech to figure out, which is why I switched to Jane. One of the things I love most about Jane, their support team. I've used other EHR systems before, and Jane's customer service is truly like none other. You get unlimited help from real humans, even on Saturdays, by phone, email, or chat, all at no extra cost. It's easy to learn about Jane in your own time, too. Jane's guides are packed with helpful tips and updates, and it's always growing. And maybe best of all, Jane has a wonderful community of practitioners, so even if you're running a solo practice, you don't have to feel like you're doing it alone. If you're curious about what Jane can do for your practice, use the link in the show notes to book a free demo. And if you're ready to get started, be sure to use my code ASHLEY1MO for a 1 month grace period on your new account. Welcome to this week's episode of the Therapist Mom Podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Kamajiz, and it feels good to be back here after a couple week break with the holidays. I am very ready to get back into some kind of rhythm. It has been craziness since before the holidays. My daughter ended up sick with RSV and just threw off all of my schedule for the way that I wanted the year to wrap up with practice and my coaching and consulting stuff. And so I've just been out of routine and structure for like, what, three-ish weeks now. And I'm so ready for kids to go back to school and daycare and to just like have a rhythm to the week again. So if you are listening to this, it is probably going out on the first day that your kids are back in school. And if you're like me, I hope this day is one that you can breathe, that you can have a moment to yourself before having to jump back into everything with work this week. So in today's episode, we're going to be talking about marketing in our private practice. And like marketing is one of those things you either love it or you hate it. And there's a lot to talk about with marketing. But today I want to talk about how we can utilize it in a more simplistic way, and that it doesn't have to be this like burden that we have as private practice owners. The reality is that most of us, if I would say many of us, if not all of us, don't start private practice as a hobby. We're doing it because we need income, or we are wanting to leave a job and we're trying to get something established, or we're doing this in addition to a separate job. But in order to have income through private practice, we need clients. And how do we get clients? That is through marketing. And marketing oftentimes can be like one of the most stressful pieces of having a private practice, especially when you are needing more income. Maybe your income feels uncertain, things are changing, or you're leaving that full-time position and going full-time in private practice. Marketing can be this like really, really stressful thing, and it doesn't need to be. There can also be this push to just do more or do it all. And so this episode is not about that. It's not about doing more. It's not about, you know, adding something extra and just like focusing on marketing all the time. I want this to be a conversation about how you can kind of step out of that like survival mode of marketing and really get more intentional with what you are spending your time, your money, your energy, your mental energy on when it comes to marketing. And I really hope that by the end of this, that you feel that you have kind of permission, not from me, but from yourself, to simplify things if you have overcomplicated them, and really have clarity about what you actually want to spend time on in marketing your practice. Oftentimes, when we are at the beginning stages of our practice, or maybe we are, say, leaving an insurance panel and we need more clients and we're just trying to fill our practice, we can fall into this comparison trap where we see other therapists are doing this one specific type of marketing, and we think that we need to do that, right? We see other therapists have created a social media account, and maybe they have, thousands or tens of thousands of followers, and we think, well, I'm supposed to be doing that. Or we hear somebody else talking about what works for them in how they have been able to get clients. And so we assume, like, well, I have to just do that. And we start copying everything from everyone else simply because we see that it has been a strategy that's been effective for them. So if you have ever thought, well, maybe I should be doing that too, you're not wrong. I have been there. And that thought makes sense when we are worried about money, right? We need to be somehow just doing more. I call this kind of like the spaghetti at the wall approach, where we just say, I'm going to do all the things and kind of throw the spaghetti at the wall and just kind of see what sticks. Maybe you are signing up for multiple directories everywhere, right? You're like signing up for Psychology Today, Therapy Den, ones that are specific to your area or to your niche. Like, you're doing it all. You are posting like inconsistently everywhere. Maybe you are on Blue Sky, or you are on Threads, and then you're also on Instagram and you're trying to do TikTok. You're posting, but it's not consistent and it's not really with a plan. And you may even be paying for tools without knowing why, simply because you say, well, somebody else is using that, so maybe I should be too. And then one of the things that I so oftentimes see for therapists is they're doing all of these things and they're not getting the clients in. And then they start doubting themselves and saying, well, maybe I'm just not supposed to be in private practice. Like, this just doesn't work for me. It works for everybody else, but it doesn't work for me. And it breaks my heart when I hear that, because I just want to like come along and give them a hug and be like, it's not you. We just need to figure out what are the strategies that you're using and why are they not working? Because I guarantee you there is somebody out there who wants to work with you. We just have to figure out how to get your message to them. When I first started out in my private practice, I was working with a coach on getting my practice set up. And one of the things that was communicated to me and that I felt this pressure to do was to do all of the things, all of the marketing, to have an Instagram account, to do a newsletter, to get on all the directories, to network with anybody and everybody, like just handing out business cards, right? To start a podcast, to get on YouTube, to name it, right? To just do all the things, to be on Twitter. I think I was on Twitter for a period of time. Like, I don't know that I ever did anything with it, but I was on there. And so I was doing all of these things, and I was not getting the kind of clients that I needed to be getting, or I was getting them from some places, but not from others. And I was still doing those things. And what I quickly realized was that this advice to like do all of these things, while like in theory you may think it sounds great, really lacked the context of being able to figure out, where does my ideal client exist? Where are they spending time? And then where are they actually looking for a therapist? What I was ending up doing was spending money and time on things that weren't actually bringing in referrals. And if you are doing those things, right, if you're saying, look, I'm doing all of these marketing strategies because I see they work for other people, or I've seen somebody else try this thing, so I'm going to try it then too, you are either spending time or money, and it may not actually be benefiting you or helping to bring in referrals. And what does that do? It creates mental fatigue. It takes time away from your family. It takes time away from rest. And then marketing just becomes this other job that you're not actually getting paid for. And then what do we tend to do with things we don't like? We avoid them, right? So I'm just not going to keep marketing because I don't like it. And then what also happens? Well, then we're not getting clients if we're not marketing, right? Being busy in a marketing does not automatically mean effective marketing. You can do all the things. You can say, I am spending 10 hours a week marketing, but if it's not effective, it's not beneficial. So I want us to think about cutting back and actually looking at how you can simplify your marketing. And if you hear this as saying, like, well, she's telling me to quit, that's not what I'm saying, to quit your marketing. That's not it. But really simplifying it and finding a way to focus that marketing so that when you are spending time on these things, it's actually productive and it's actually giving you a return on your investment, whether that's time investment or financial investment. Marketing is a skill. We did not learn this in grad school. How many times have we heard that, right? They did not teach us about this. If anything, they kind of taught us to hide, and marketing does require us to kind of come out and be in front of people. And marketing is not just a personality trait. It's not just that, like, oh, well, they're an extrovert and it's easy for them to talk to somebody. Marketing is a skill, and skills are something that take time to develop. So if you are struggling, I don't want you to feel like that means that you need to give up. Remember, skills take time. When we are working with a client of ours, if they are trying a new kind of coping strategy for the first time and they come back in a week and they're like, oh, it was really hard, like I just don't know if it's working, we wouldn't be like, well, you gave it a good try for a week, right? We would be like, no, like we need to keep practicing this. Let's continue to try this technique. Let's be, you know, we want to create repetition, and doing it over and over can help then it to become kind of this muscle memory. And it becomes easier. The other thing too is that marketing does take time. Even if you are on a platform or on a directory, we're not going to just like pop our profile up there and then all of a sudden the clients come in. I see so many of us think that's how it works, but it doesn't. And so it takes time. So if we are jumping from one month to the next, from one strategy to the next, we're not giving that strategy time and ourself time to really learn it and hone that technique or hone that marketing strategy. And then what happens? We switch, and then all of whatever progress we had made is gone. And so it takes time to then start with the new thing that we're doing and start with progress. And again, we may be looking for this quick fix, but it's not going to happen that quickly. So if we are just jumping ship early because we don't feel like something is working, it may not be that that strategy isn't for us. It may actually be that that is the right strategy and could be the most effective strategy, but we just haven't given it enough time. And so when we think about this going from one thing to the next, and you know, what do we have time for as moms, as women, right? We are not operating with endless time. As parents, like you know this, our time is eaten up by the most mundane things, right? Like picking up socks that are just everywhere, putting dishes away. And so if we are going to be taking time away from family, away from other work, it needs to be efficient and effective. The other thing that I want to just kind of call out too, and I absolutely experience this still myself, is that especially when we are in that place of, I'm trying to just get as many clients in the door as I possibly can, we may see somebody else saying, hey, I've got this like shiny thing over here, or I'm doing this thing and it's really working for me. You should give it a try. There can be this pressure that we need to like get on this thing and do it. We need to start creating content. We need to start posting. We need to start going to all these like networking groups and all of this thing. And this constant content, you know, pressure, whether it is producing content or like showing up as ourselves in networking and those kinds of things, it can create this urgency. And I have seen this personally for sure, but in other people that like it impacts our nervous system, right? So we're just kind of like on edge of like, I'm doing all the things, I'm doing all the things. But then that creates that burnout and we're like, well, I'm just going to give up. So to really have awareness of, am I jumping ship because I've given this thing the real try? I have a strategy. The strategy is just not effective. Or maybe that's just not where my ideal client is. But like, am I just jumping because I see something else shining over here that I should do? We want to actually make sure we have a strategy and that we're using that strategy efficiently and effectively in the approach that we are using for that marketing strategy. We don't want to be building our practice in just this constant state of doing or creation or output, right? We want to be doing things that feel good to us, that feel aligned to us. And so that's why I recommend making sure that we have just a few marketing strategies, but that we are doing those few really well. You don't need 10 marketing strategies or systems. I typically recommend 3 to 5. And 3 to 5 may not sound like a lot, but that can actually be enough variety so that you're not just relying on one thing, but that you're also not all over the place doing all these different things. One of the most important questions that you're going to need to ask yourself when you're figuring out, like, what are the 3 to 5 strategies that I need to use or that I want to use, is where is my ideal client actually searching for a therapist? Your ideal client may not be the person who is searching. So let me give you some examples. So if you work with, like, I work with perinatal population, primarily women, I am thinking about where are they searching, because they are searching for therapy themselves. Or sometimes I will have a spouse or a partner reach out to me, but there is an adult that is searching for therapy. If you work with kids, who is searching for the therapist for the children or the teens? It's usually the parent. The child is not on TikTok or on Instagram going to be like, let me find myself a therapist. Couples, who is the partner that's going to initiate searching for therapy? So you need to be thinking about who that ideal client is, but then who is the one actually searching for that ideal client? You also want to think about, like, their age, their life stage, and then what is their access and familiarity with technology, right? That if you are working with populations that say is 65 plus, they're probably not on TikTok looking for a therapist. They are probably Googling or talking to their doctor for some kind of a recommendation. So there can be this tendency, and there has been this movement and popularity I see with using social media to market your practice. I am not going to knock that per se, because that can be an efficient and effective strategy. There are people who teach that specifically and have been very successful in filling their practices that way. And to them, I say that is incredible and keep doing that. But I personally have seen, and I personally believe from a business standpoint, social media is not where people are going to automatically look for a therapist. They are not going to Instagram to say, like, let me see, like, if there's a therapist in my area, because that's not where they're going to see all of the therapists, right? They're going to most likely look on the internet. They're going to do a Google search to find therapists in their area. Now, if they happen to be on social media and see a therapist in their area, and they're like, oh, look at this person. Like, this is someone that I want to follow, and they're actually local to me. Great. But if you're thinking of using social media as a strategy, which again, that can be one of your 3 to 5, but it should not just be the thing. But when you're thinking about using it as a strategy, I want you to ask yourself, is this strategy helping people find me or just see me? So if you are on Instagram and you have 10,000 people, right? 10,000 followers, that's incredible. And you're probably getting, like, other amazing opportunities. And I'm not knocking that whatsoever. But if you have 10,000 followers, but you are not getting a single one of them as a client, that strategy is helping people to find you or to see you, but not find you. Right? They're following you, they're engaging with your content, but they're not actually finding you to come to therapy. They're just seeing you through social media. We've all been told we need to network in our private practice, but no one actually tells us how to do it or what to say. Enter comprehensive connecting, effective scripts that expand your networking community and actually fill your online practice. This free guide will give you effective scripts to connect with fellow clinicians, medical professionals, and community stakeholders to build strong networking relationships that will help fill your practice. In this guide, you will get tips and tricks for building relationships that will lead to referrals in your practice, real life examples of messages used to connect with referral sources, and customizable plug and send scripts for your specific practice needs. So download your free scripts guide today by going to bit.ly/compconnecting. So when we're thinking about our strategies, again, there can be a tendency to compare to other people. I want us to just normalize that there are going to be different answers to what are your strategies versus mine versus somebody else. Some practices grow primarily through referrals, right? They have, whether it is a physician's office or, some other kind of clinic in the area or just word of mouth, right? That is the thing that is sending them referrals. For other people, Google searches is going to be the thing that is going to be driving referrals to them. For another person, it may be community relationships, community partnerships that they have. There is no universal right answer to what is a strategy that you should be using or what is the right strategy to be using in your practice. The only correct strategy is one that is aligned for you, that fits your lifestyle, that fits your kind of energy level, and that's going to actually help bring in your ideal client. Now, when we're thinking about these 3 to 5 strategies, I personally, my philosophy is that you can pick any 3 to 5. However, I strongly encourage that there are 2 that should be non-negotiables. So regardless of whether you have 10,000, you're using like Instagram or TikTok or something as a strategy, and maybe you have thousands of followers on there. I personally believe that you should still use these 2 other strategies in addition to that, that these are non-negotiable. And the first one is a website. If you are in this for the long term, if you are saying like, I want to go all in on private practice, you know, even if you're like, I just want this to be kind of part-time right now, but I eventually want this to be, you know, longer term, a website is not optional. Most people, when they are searching for a therapist, are going to start with a Google search. And even if someone finds you, let's say on social media, or somebody says, hey, you're asking about a therapist, heard about this person, or this is my therapist, they're not going to say, okay, well, just give me the phone number, I'm going to call. They're most likely going to want to do some additional research. Think about this yourself. If somebody was like, I'm looking for a therapist, and someone says, I know somebody that's great, I found them on TikTok, go look at them. You're most likely not from like a TikTok going to say, well, yeah, let me just go ahead and schedule with them. You're going to want to go look at their website to learn a little bit more about them. A website gives you the depth that like those, 30-second, even 2-minute clips are not going to give somebody else. It's going to give that depth. A website really allows you to explain who you help, how you work, how somebody who is interested in working with you can get started in doing that. But with that, I recognize that like there are really, common resistance to the website, right? For a lot of people, it's like, oh my gosh, that feels really daunting. I don't have the time to do this. I'm afraid it's going to cost too much money, or like I'm going to do it the wrong way. I want to just emphasize that a simple site is better than nothing. Having clarity on like who you work with, that is going to be like a beautiful design. So a website, the thing that I also love about a website is that a website is an asset, meaning you could have 10,000 followers on a social media platform, but you don't own them. You don't own that asset. If TikTok shuts down, you don't have access to like that content anymore necessarily. You don't have access to those followers anymore. But your website, when you create it, and when you create it through something like a Squarespace or a Wix or something like that, not like I call them like a big box, website platform where they're like building it for you. And if you leave them, then you don't have your website anymore. A website is something that you own. It is yours. And so this is something that no one can take away from you. So I see it as a really important strategy to marketing your practice. I am really passionate about this piece. And I'm going to be doing some future episodes. I'm looking into the new year of like maybe doing even like a workshop around this because I just see the fear and the worry and I get it. But I think that having a website is just so important and so invaluable that I want to figure out how I can help make it more accessible for listeners. So just keep that on your radar. There's more to come for that. The second strategy that I believe is a non-negotiable when it comes to marketing and needs to be one of your 3 to 5 is networking. Networking can feel really scary. It can feel really intimidating, but I want you to remember that networking is not selling, it's not cold messaging, but really, networking is relationship building. It's not going up to somebody and be like, "Hi, here's my business card. You know, if you have people to refer to me, send them my way." It is about making connections, taking the time to learn about that person that you're building that relationship with and having them learn about you and trying to create a mutual relationship there, right? Whether it is that you are referring people to them for their services, they're referring people to you, but that it's not just as simply, I'm handing out my business card. Referrals compound over time. So, like, as one person, kind of comes in the door from a referral source, they're going to go back to that referral source and be like, thank you so much. She is a great therapist. I highly recommend her. And then they're going to more likely refer more and more and more people over to you. It is a support system that can grow and expand. So, taking the time to nurture that is really, really important for, again, the long-term payoff of this. If you haven't already, I want to encourage you to take a second and head to the show notes to download the Comprehensive Connecting Networking Scripts Guide because it's going to go in more detail what I'm talking about here. But one of the things that you need to be thinking about is who already serves the people that are adjacent to my ideal client. So whether this is medical providers, whether this is other therapists, whether this is what I call community stakeholders, who are the people that are in the periphery or in my ideal client's life right now that would be a natural referral source to me. Using that Scripts guide is going to really help you to figure out who those people are and then how do you begin those conversations to build these networking relationships. And I want to just like normalize the discomfort of this, right? Like networking can feel really awkward. And I think sometimes, again, like we think, oh, well, like it's just people who are extroverted that are really good at this. But that's not necessarily true. Like my skin like crawls when I'm networking, but like it also feels really good when you make those connections and you make those, referral sources and you start building those relationships. It does get easier when you have intention, when you have focus, and it just like the any other marketing skill, it gets easier the more you practice it. A strong network is going to help reduce the pressure to constantly market because it eventually is. I'm going to just kind of touch base with these people that I already have this relationship with and let them know, hey, like I have some openings on my slot. If you have anybody to send my way, let me know. And it doesn't have to be, I'm starting this whole new relationship over and over again. So, as you're kind of thinking through this, I want you, before you sit here and go, okay, so what do I need to add? I want you to kind of look at like editing. Before adding anything new to kind of your marketing plan, I want you to look at what you already are doing. What are the strategies that you are using? What are ones that maybe you have been using and are actually bringing in inquiries. People are finding you this way, or they're saying, hey, I talked to this person, or I saw this flyer, or I heard about this through this thing, or I saw you here. What is actually bringing in inquiries? And then what drains your energy? What are the things that you're like, oh, I'm doing this thing, but like I'm exhausted from it? Even if it is bringing in one or two clients, but it just feels so misaligned with you. We do need to ask, like, is that something that you need to continue to do? It may be that it may just be that, like, it's draining your energy now because you're still building that skill and it doesn't feel natural yet. But asking yourself, like, is it that it just doesn't feel natural yet, or you're just not comfortable with it yet, right? Like, you're still learning the thing. likes and views, especially with social media, right, can feel really validating. And we think, like, I got to keep growing like this. But validation is not the same thing as sustainability and is not the same thing as a referral source. So I want you to just, like, again, look at the landscape of what you are already doing. And you are allowed to stop doing the things that no longer work for you, or to look at how do I give it a different go at it. Maybe I've been doing it, but I've not been doing it with intention, and I need to take something else away to be able to focus better on this thing. Marketing is something that I don't want it to like consume your life. It really should be supporting your life and feel like a natural fit in. So if you are like just starting out, maybe you've been in practice for a year, or maybe you've been at it a couple years and you're like, I just don't know. You are not behind. Just remind yourself you are learning, you are building skills, you are building that muscle. So if you're walking away from today's episode and you're like, okay, what do I do? I just want you to like hear my voice that the strategy is simplicity and that having focus in what you're doing will build momentum. I want to encourage you to, maybe set an intention of like one thing that you can do from today's episode. So maybe it's identifying one strategy that you want to pause to, that maybe you're going to come back to, or maybe another strategy you want to say, I want to lean into a little bit more or refine, or something you're just like, I'm done with this altogether. And I would love to hear, like, what are those strategies that you're finding to be most effective? And what are the ones that you're saying, like, I'm just not doing it anymore. I'm gonna drop it. You can leave a review on this episode. Let me know. I love reading those. Or you can head over to Instagram and let me know on the post from this week, kind of what are the strategies you're finding that are working? And what can we do differently to kind of help move you further along in a way that just feels more strategic and simplified for yourself. I want to thank you again for being here with me. I hope that 2026 is starting off on a good foot for you, and I'm really excited for what's to come as we journey into this new year. Thanks for being here, and I will see you back here next week. Thanks for listening to the Therapist Mom Podcast. If today's episode resonated with you, I'd love for you to share it with another therapist mom who needs it. Be sure to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And if you'd leave a 5-star review, it helps more therapist moms find this space. For resources and ways to work with me, head to raisetoempower.com and check the show notes for all links mentioned today. I'll see you back here next week.